OPEC says it'll add supply to a tight market, but will it bring down global prices? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Both the Brent and West Texas crude benchmarks are down this morning by just over 0.5% to around $115 a barrel. The moves come after OPEC and its allies opted to boost production by about 200,000 barrels a day more than previously agreed over the next 2 months. The group said Russia will participate in the production increase despite sanctions preventing some nations from buying its oil due to President Putin's Ukraine invasion. If all this means, though, that more oil is coming back onto the market, which could alleviate concerns over shortages of supplies, why have markets more or less shrugged off the announcement? I put that question to Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell.
It's a relatively small increase in production. It equates to about 0.25% of global demand. Secondly, there are still suggestions that some OPEC Plus members are struggling to meet their existing production quotas. And thirdly, U.S. oil inventories continue to decline. Another 11 million barrel decline in U.S. stocks. That's down 15% year on year now. So it still does look as if supply and demand are in very, very tight balance.
And Russia has long been counted in this OPEC Plus group. Now there's increasing talk about whether the nation should play a role in this alliance. How would that affect the oil market? Because this is essentially just a price-setting group, right?
It is. It isn't a monopoly by any means. OPEC's responsible for about a third of world output, so it can't control prices, but it can certainly try and influence them. I mean, Russia controls 10% of global oil reserves, so it's a big player in the market. But if you're a nation that isn't bothered about sanctions on Russia, if the EU don't take their oil, there'll be two or three nations who are quite large consumers and may be willing to do so. So again, it might not quite have the effect on the oil market that maybe we would think.
And why is OPEC struggling on its production targets, as you mentioned? I mean, because setting price is one thing, but controlling supply is another.
A lot of it is down to the availability. There's been a lot of underinvestment in oil generally around the world over the last 5 years as pressure is built for the world to try and transition to more renewable sources. You have some OPEC members where there is a lot of political and economic instability, so attracting investment and actually carrying out the work is then very difficult. So there are several possible reasons for that.
So how do we solve this problem then? Where do we get the rest of it?
It's really difficult. I mean, in the short term, it's hard. Over the long term, anybody who believes in free markets would tell you the best cure for high prices is high prices, because that starts to persuade people to look for using other sources of energy. And on the other hand, what you would normally see is companies increasing production to cash in. That takes time.
Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell, thanks for breaking this down for us.
Thank you.
Checking some other numbers now, global stocks are little changed this morning ahead of the monthly jobs report in the U.S. As fighting in Ukraine stretches to its 100th day, the country's central bank has doubled interest rates to 25%. It's the highest in Europe to try to fight rampant inflation. The impact of that war is also being felt in Turkey, where fresh data today showed inflation there hit 73.5% in May. That's thanks to skyrocketing food and fuel prices. Platinum Jubilee celebrations marking Queen Elizabeth II's 70 years on the throne are continuing through the weekend here in the UK. And today the focus is on the very British tradition of street parties. They've been a staple of nationwide celebrations of royal milestones for decades. And just like this party in 1977 for the Queen's Silver Jubilee, thousands of people all over the UK will take to their streets to mark her platinum one. Similar to block parties or tailgates in the US, street parties are designed to bring communities together. But these are on a scale all their own.
We're really lucky because our local council have given us a grant, £1,500, which is very generous to go towards equipment and entertainment and things like that.
That's Chrissy Klarfelt, who's planning, as it turns out, the party on the street where I live.
In terms of food, we're hoping people will bring food from their culture and going to have a great feast on the central stretch of tables going down the street. And we'd also like to do this traditional afternoon tea, have some Victoria sponges and some scones, and everyone can bring a cup of tea from their homes.
Chrissy and her planning committee have been at work for months. One of her first orders of business was sourcing bunting. That's the festive triangular flags strung up between trees and streetlights that have become an absolute staple of celebrations like these.
We've sold nearly 12,000 units.
Chloe Flaherty is the business manager at British Made Gifts, which has created a whole line of Jubilee-themed bunting.
They're 3 metres long. They've got 15 panels and each panel is a different design. We've got images of the Queen. We've got the emblem, obviously the dates. We've seen people just ordering one unit, or we've seen some businesses. We've had orders for 50, 100 at a time.
How and where to source such street party supplies has been a common question for first-time organisers. And that's where UK charity The Eden Project has provided a helping hand. It put together online guides, including invitation templates, recipes and tips to getting started, which have been downloaded 72,000 times.
We also have been doing lots of packs for communities who we know are holding events, where we're sending out bunting and tea towels and bits and pieces that can make their event go with a bit of a bang.
Lindsay Brummett is program director for Eden Project, which has been coordinating what's been dubbed the Big Jubilee Lunch. Funded by the National Lottery, it's an event that's part of the official slate of celebrations for the Platinum Jubilee.
The longest one in the UK is probably going to be about 2.5 kilometres on the seafront in Morecambe. We've got a world record attempt for the largest big lunch in Preston. So there's loads of things going on.
But Brummett emphasised street parties don't have to be expensive, carefully coordinated blowout bashes. They can be small gatherings in backyards or picnics in the park. The whole point is to build community spirit.
The fact that it's right on your doorstep means it's for everybody. Food is a great leveller, isn't it? It's something we all can share and enjoy.
She added that some communities also use their lunches as an opportunity to fundraise. And on average, more than $10 million is put toward causes that matter to local communities each year. Indeed, back in Northwest London, Chrissy Klarfelt says Jubilee street party planning has indeed brought our street closer together.
It's been great to actually meet the people, spend time with them and really understand what they're about. And it's been lovely to see how enthusiastic people are, especially after the last couple of years.
Like Jubilee's past, this one is an opportunity, everyone can agree, to stash away phones and tablets, gather around the table, maybe clink a glass of fizz or two, and as the Queen herself has encouraged, make many happy memories. And when I do finally get to that street party later, I will certainly be raising a glass to today's producer and my friend, Will Bain. You have heard him many times on this show, and he always bails me out when I need a good sports reference or a top-notch guest, like the now former Afghan central bank governor who we interviewed together last year when the Taliban overtook the country. Will is off to other things here at the BBC, and I speak for all of us here when I say thank you, we'll miss you, and all the very best luck. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.